This is Raz FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skosana.
A big thank you to Zingisa Chiro alongside Wandile Mazibugo for taking care of business for us. Good evening and welcome to Raz FM in 60 Minutes. I am Zimki Tashongwe in for Musa Skosana. Now, coming up on tonight's show, we speak to National Treasury about simplifying the process of doing business with government through public procurement, and we zone in on the Central Suppliers Database and e-tendering. Now, if you have any questions or comments about this, you can send them through to our WhatsApp line, which is 072-885-7702, or you can tweet us on @RiseFM943. Good evening.
Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Raz FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skosana.
Now, government introduced the Central Supplier Database to reduce the cost of doing business with government suppliers. All administrative compliance requirements are housed in the system and suppliers are responsible for maintaining their profiles. This evening, I'm joined by the Chief Director, Rakgadi Motsedo, and she is on the line with us this evening. Good evening, Rakgadi, and welcome to Raz FM in 60 Minutes.
Thank you so much. Good evening and good evening to the people of Mpumalanga.
Now, Rakgadi, before we go any further with this conversation, what is the Central Supplier Database?
The Central Supplier Database, I think last week I explained the relevance of the information from the SONA.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, from the SONA, we were tasked to find ways of reducing costs of doing business with government for suppliers, meaning reducing the cost of photocopying, loss of time, standing in queues to certify documents, and traveling to different institutions to deliver these documents just for one RFQ. So to reduce the cost of doing business, we introduced the Central Supplier Database to centralize all generic or common administrative requirements that are used or applicable across government. So all the administrative requirements referred to are those like your ID numbers that are verified electronically when you interface with Home Affairs, your tax status, the staff, you don't have to give us the tax clearance anymore. We can use your PIN to verify if the system is not giving us a positive reading, and then we verify your banking account as well through what we call bank sales. And then we also introduced the e-tenders portal, where the majority of the competitive tenders are advertised and uploaded together with the tender documents, so that suppliers, if they are interested in submitting or competing for a particular tender, they can just download the documents and submit using only their CST number, not any other information like your ID and all other documents that were required. And again, they don't even have to go and buy newspapers anymore to look for tenders. They can just go into the e-tenders portal. That's how the e-tenders as well as the CST came about in 2015.
Now, Rakgadi, how do people go about with the registration of this whole process of the CST?
The registration for the CSD is free. I know there are other people who are advertising their services online that they are experts in registering suppliers for the CSD. For one to be an expert, you have to be trained and have a certification for that. And we haven't trained any public member to do the registration for anybody. So suppliers are expected to do their own registration online. What they need to do before they register is to go onto the CSD site and check under the frequently asked questions. What are the documents that are going to be required? They need a cell phone, they need an email, they're going to need the ID as well as their company registration and their banking details. And immediately they are done with their registration, what they always forget to do is to click the submit button just to make sure they give the system permission to start verifying the information. And then immediately when the information is submitted, then at the end of the registration, they will have a permanent MAAA number. And that means that they are fully registered. And then the other verification will still go on in the background. But the MAAA number confirms that you have filled in all the fields, all the information that is required for you to be on the CSD.
Mm-hmm. If you've just joined us, you are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes, and I'm in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsoetho, speaking to us this evening about the simplifying of the process of doing business with government. And this evening, we are looking at the Central Supplier Database. Now, Rakgadi, what categories of suppliers should register on the CSD?
It's all suppliers, it doesn't matter. As long as they have a company number, they have their bank account, they have their ID number, the South African ID, mm-hmm. and then they have their home address, they have their email and the cell phone number, they can do the registration. It doesn't matter what services they're in there.
Oh, okay. So now when it comes to the using of the CSD, is there a limit when it comes to the number of users per supplier?
Suppliers tend to register a lot of commodities. We don't restrict them because some that are doing different services and different commodities. But the challenge is that when they do that, they tend to expose themselves to what we call the RFQ scams, because if you register too many commodities, you tend to forget which ones you have registered for. So when you get an email that looks like it comes from government, you tend to be responsive to that. So much as we say, remember what you have registered for, try and stay in a particular sector for you to be able to remember what is happening or even know what is happening in that sector. Mm-hmm. They tend to think that we want to limit them. They believe that the more you register too many commodities, the more you spend an opportunity of getting an RFQ request, which is a risk, of course, because once you have too many commodities, you tend to forget which ones have you registered for, which ones you didn't register for. So it puts them at a risk as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are the advantages and the disadvantages of the CSD and e-tendering?
It cuts a lot of paperwork. It cuts a lot of cost for them because once they are on the central supplier database and their services can be provided nationally, for instance, if somebody is an engineer, has an engineering company, and they can do business because they don't have to move the office to another province. They can do that across the entire country. Mm-hmm. If we are in housing, we're looking for engineers, maybe in a category of young people, then that particular company is going to show up. They stand a chance of doing business in any other province. Even on the e-tenders portal, they can look for opportunities across the country because they can move themselves. They are the only asset maybe of that particular company. They can move and go and render an audit service in another province or render an engineering company service in another province. So it always gives them a volume or a bigger scale of opportunities across the country. They don't have to stay in one municipality or one province. They are accessible by all institutions of government across the country.
And if you've just joined us, you are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes, and I'm in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsoetho, speaking to us this evening about simplifying the process of doing business with government. And this evening we are zoning into the Central Supply Database. Now, Rakgadi, while we're still on trying to familiarize ourselves with this database, how can people check their CSD status?
They have the profile because when they register, they create a profile like your login details. When you go onto your social media account, you'll have your login name, you'll have your password. So they can do that as frequent as they can, especially when they want to change certain information on their profile. So they are responsible for their own profile technically, because where we are sitting, we are not going to change the information without them giving us permission to change the information. Usually when that changes, they have to get a PIN code that they will read out to an official of government if they are on a telephone call. Otherwise, they can do walk-ins into any government institution for them to be helped with the registration or changing certain commodities maybe, or bank accounts on the system. And also they must be mindful that when you change your bank account and you don't submit the information by clicking the submit button, permission will not be verified, and then you will come back later on and you realize that your banking account is not verified, it's still ticked in red form. So they need to click that information submit button to make sure that it goes through the bank safe to that particular bank and then verify the information, then they will be compliant on the system. Otherwise, we don't get into their profiles unless we're looking for suppliers. And if we appoint them, that's when we are going to draw their report from the system.
Rakhari, let's take this short break. We will be back, and you can still send your WhatsApps to 072-885-7702. You are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes.
Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
It is 16 minutes, or rather 15 minutes to 8 on Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Zimki Tashongwe in for Umusa Skhosana. And we seem to have a bit of WhatsApps from our listeners. Let's have a listen to what they have to say.
All suppliers database and vendor registration. And why can't they be merged into one?
Well, le CSD system and e-tendering ewe yona iyanceda ngokuthi izinto zoba kube kukhethwa abantu besazana bakhethane nezihlobo zabo or ne family members I think inceda ngento yoba ezo zinto ezo zingenzeki. However, kukho I think the system itself I call user friendly and njeninga call user friendly nje ikwazi ungabi namdla wokuba noba mawu log on okanye ucheck into yokuba ngeziphi tenders ezi issuishiweyo because uphelela uapply the next thing application yakho ingayindawo and apparently ke abanye abantu basakwazi bona uba mabasubmithe i-tenders okanye ba-apply for ama-tenders benga-applyanga online kodwa bayakwazi uzifumana ezo tenders so andiyazi ke noba abo bantu abo ngabantu abaspecial bona or kwenzekani mara i-system yona ayincedi ngolo hlobo and I think also nabanye abantu bakhe batsho bathi into yoba le system ikhona i-fraud eyenzekayo somehow but ewe mna ndiyibona ngolo hlobo kodwa ke I think it can be bettered. I think inga-improvewa online and babone babenza njani na.
Rakhadi, were you able to get those voice notes that came in?
Nothing at all.
Oh, okay. The first one asked, what is the difference between the central supplier database and the vendor registration?
Okay. The second one.
And then the second one was talking about how people have submitted or have registered on the CSD, but now the problem is that they don't get any feedback on anything and that those who are not on the CSD somehow are still able to get tenders, yet they are on the CSD, but they don't get any jobs or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Okay, let me start with this one on the CSD and the vendor registration.
Mm-hmm.
The CSD is for all suppliers, right? And if you go to other institutions, like in the private sector, they would use the word vendor registration, maybe because some of them are not even on using the CSD. Because I know most suppliers tend to think institutions like Safol and them. They are government, but they use the terminology differently as in vendor registration. But what they usually use the registration for, if at all, is a government institution, and they still ask you to register again.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they want to put you on the payment system, because some of their payment system are not interfacing with the CSD. Yes, they will get your bank verification, but they still need you to register again on the payment system, so that when you get an RFQ or you have a tender, if you want a tender, you render service, they can pay you from the payment system. So it's just the terminology in most cases, right? The other one is on whether they are going to get opportunities or not. Certainly when you participate in what we call competitive bids that we'll talk about in the coming weeks, is that you can apply for any tender. Nobody can tell you that you can apply for a particular tender if you are meeting the requirements. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge that we have right now is the number of clients that we have on the CSD. On the CSD currently, we're sitting with 1,003,980-something suppliers that have the MAAA numbers that are fully registered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, in Mpumalanga, we have 112,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just rounding it off, suppliers for the whole of Mpumalanga that have MAAA numbers. And nationally, from that 1 million odd number of suppliers, you have to subtract 48% of it, right? You take it off because 48% of those are not compliant on tax.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that if your tax is not, your tax status is non-compliant, we can't do business with you. Meaning that we left with something like less than 47%, because the other suppliers on the system, they haven't completed their registration.
Mm-hmm.
So we are limited in terms of suppliers, because if you are in Mpumalanga and you have 112 and then you have to subtract a particular percentage of suppliers from the 112, you are left with a lesser number, mainly because they are not tax compliant. So the selection becomes a little bit problematic because suppliers don't check their tax statuses. And I'm saying that if your tax status is not compliant, we are not even going to engage you on any RFQ or any tender. So once the thing is, once you submit your tender or your RFQ, right, and you are compliant at the time, and then before we award you that RFQ, we still have to check if your tax status hasn't changed. If it has changed, we still give you 7 days to go and sort out that tax status. If you don't come back, we're going to exclude you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with the RFQ, the reason why it takes longer for suppliers to get opportunities is that you have a lot of suppliers who are sitting in the commodities that are easily available, right? For instance, now if you drive through the city, at every robot you find, I'll say, a vendor now because they are selling masks, right? So everybody's selling masks. Who do you pick, right? So when you put on the CSD, selecting suppliers that can supply, let's say, with paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a huge number of suppliers who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to narrow it down and say, look, I'm looking for the ones who are in this particular area because you want the paper as soon as you can, right? You exclude the other ones who are far. You take the ones who are closer. So as the more the suppliers are sitting under one commodity that is easily available, the longer it's going to take for them to get that opportunity. Although on the system, what we have done, because suppliers are complaining that we must rotate, the challenge is that if you are going to rotate the same way, the way we used to do it on individual systems, it means you're taking all the suppliers under the commodity of paper across the country. You put them in centralized point. You rotate all of them, and that doesn't make sense. So what we have done is that we went to the system and said, let's just randomize then the selection of suppliers, right? So if you look for a supplier now for paper, next time when you go back as an institution, it's not going to give you the same suppliers that you used the last time. It's going to give you a new number of suppliers. The challenge is that if you are not compliant as a supplier, we are not going to transact with you. That is why we have a challenge. The more you are sitting under one commodity as suppliers, the competition is very tight. It will take you longer to get an opportunity as compared to suppliers who are in high-value commodities, where suppliers are supplying complex equipment like your syringes, your face shields, your biohazard bags. So there you find few suppliers that we can use, whereas on the other side, you find a huge amount of suppliers that are sitting in one commodity. In Mpumalanga, 70% of this 112,000 are sitting in the townships as well as rural areas, and they are in the commodities of catering as well as cleaning services. So it becomes very, very difficult to really, reduce the competition in those commodities. So it will take them longer, but as long as they are in commodities that are easily available.
Now, Rakgadi, when you touch on that, my question is then that many a times we find ourselves where we see one company over and over getting this specific tender with different departments. How then is it, how does National Treasury plan to maybe rotate in that sense? Is it something that is at a national level or is it a provincial issue?
It's not a national issue. It's a supplier issue, and it's also a specification issue. And I think I touched on it last week. Especially if you don't apply for a tender, you're not going to be considered for a tender. Right. Secondly, if at all the tender comes out and they're asking for certain requirements and you don't have them, you cannot blame somebody who has those who meet those requirements. Right. It's like competing for a job. It's the same as competing for a job. They will tell you, we're looking for this much experience, we're looking for these qualifications, we're looking for expertise in this and that and that and that. And the selection criteria will continue. And then thereafter, they will call the few that have been shortlisted to go and present themselves and engage on the areas that are critical for that particular position. And then they will appoint one, right? The same person can stay in that job maybe for 2-3 years, and then they advertise a similar position somewhere that pays more, and the person applies there. Are we saying then the person shouldn't be considered because they meet the requirements elsewhere? We can't say that. You know, because certain suppliers, what they do, they keep abreast of what is happening in the industry, and they go and attend what we call supplier days just to check what is it that has changed within government, what is it that is expected of us as government. Even now, as consumers, we tend to approach our buying differently because everything has changed. The petrol has gone up. We tend to buy things that we can afford and try and stretch our rent. The same applies with these suppliers. They go and look at the best way they can present their services or commodities. And some still want to do things the same way they have been doing them at, you know, prior to 2019 before the pandemic. And that tends to be a disadvantage on their part. And also, as institution, what we have what we call a process, what we call a request for information, just for us to make sure that whatever we are going to procure is in line with industry requirements. We issue what we call requests for information to make sure that we are aligned with the development in that industry, so that when we issue our tenders or RFQs, we comply with the regulations in that industry, and then we have the suppliers that are there. Because it doesn't help to say you want a supplier that has 49 years experience. You are excluding suppliers that are supposed to be in. Does it mean if they have 49 years, then they are better with somebody who comes in with a new technology that can really cut the cost for you in terms of running a business? Then you have to check in the system with the industry that is it necessary for the person to have 49 years for them to be equipped to do 1, 2, 3, 4. If they say no, you only need 3 years, then when you issue a RFQ or your tender, then you'll say minimum 3 years. And then you can say if you have additional 1, 2, 3, 4, it's an advantage, you give the points for that. So for one to say that a particular supplier keeps getting the tender, it's a bit unfair for that particular supplier, because I'm definitely sure that they are doing their best to make sure that their business stays afloat and their business stays compliant to make sure that the clients are happy as well.
And if you've just joined us, you are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes. I am in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsoetho, and she's speaking to us this evening about simplifying the process of doing business with government. And tonight we are zoning into the Central Supplier Database. Now, Rakgadi, the voice note that came in also asked the difference between the Central Supplier Database and the Vendor Registration.
That is the one that I spoke to earlier, that it's just an issue of terminology in terms of different institutions. Usually in the SOEs, they will say vendor registration, but they use the CSD as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, an additional requirement or registration will be on the payment system, or maybe they have supplier development. They would ask them to register for as vendors for supplier development, just to take them through a particular process to make sure that if they get to a point where they require certain suppliers, they have those that they have developed and they can use in their system.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rakgadi, at this point, how many suppliers can government transact with across the country, and what is the impact thereof of the objectives of government through public procurement?
We have just over 1 million. It's 1,300,000. Just let me say 1,444,000. That's the number that we have that have the CSD number, and in Mpumalanga it's 112,000 that we have the MAAA number that are fully registered.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, they are still dormant on the system because they didn't complete their registration. But the challenge is that from that 1 million, 4,000, we can only transact with less than 47% of those, because the majority of them are not tax compliant, and we can't transact with suppliers who are not tax compliant.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have just answered this one, but I'll ask it again. Suppliers feel that they remain on the CSD and never received a request to quote. Has the government maybe done anything to improve on this?
We have. What we have done is to make sure that, especially on the RFQ side, we have built in a functionality to randomly select suppliers for the commodities that we're looking for. And also, suppliers should be mindful of the changing environment.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, now we are working from home. All our meetings are online.
Mm-hmm.
And for a supplier to say that I'm in catering and I'm not getting business, it's just unrealistic, because who are we catering for when we are sitting online? Everybody's at home, and then we're doing our meetings on the digital platform.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to realize that the changing environment tends to impact on their business as well. And even those who are in the supply of stationery, we home. We don't print anymore. We sign online. We do a lot of things online. So those particular commodities are going to be affected, and also even the cleaning services, because you don't require a lot of support in terms of cleaning the offices, because we're hardly in the office. We go maybe 2 days a week and we alternate. So they don't have a huge number of officials that they need to service in that particular building. So the number of labor that will be required by the cleaning service is going to be lesser.
Mm-hmm. Rakgadi, let's take this short break and we will be back. And you can still send your WhatsApps to 072-885-7702. You are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes.
You're listening to Rise FM.
Tying the opinions into a single narrative. Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana. We'll be right back.
It's gone 3 minutes after 8 and you are on Rise FM in 60 minutes with Zimki Itashongwe in for Umusa Skhosana, and I'm in conversation with the National Treasury. Now, Rakgadi, we've just received a WhatsApp and it says, as business people registered with the database, we get a lot of fraudulent requests to quote. How do we stop this? This is from Usubusiso in Ganyamazan.
How do we stop it? I wish we could stop it because I receive some as well, although I don't have a business.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is the concern. The thing is that we have picked up is that where do you leave your information? If you go and engage on different platforms or sessions or workshops or conferences and you leave your information, some people take that information and use it for whatever they want to use it with later on, because information is money. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have big companies held at ransom for data that has been stolen. So for them to deal with this scam that tends to rise at a particular time when government is winding down, like now we're heading for Easter, mm-hmm. you're going to see a huge amount of scams going up. Firstly, is that these are high-value commodities that if I think next week or the other week we're going to talk about the method of procurement where we have transversal contracts. Mm-hmm. These are very complex commodities where they're very expensive and are very, very complex, that if you have to buy one, you have to spend something like 500,000 to buy just one equipment or one machine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So suppliers tend to register too many commodities and they forget what they have registered for. So with these commodities, they need to remember what they have registered for. And if at all they don't know this particular commodity that they have been asked to quote on, they shouldn't even bother to quote on that RFQ.
Mm-hmm.
And also they need to know within government who is supposed to be buying or procuring from them their services or commodities. But if you are in the agricultural sector, you know that you only deal with your forestry as well as agriculture and maybe health to some extent if you're mm-hmm. doing chemicals. So they need to understand which institutions are going to be talking to them. But with these scammers, they're now smarter. And also on the e-tender side, for them to deal with those scams, they can go to the e-tender side and just check those departments and ask those departments because the contact details are there, and check whether that particular RFQ is legit or not. But we don't, with this fake RFQs, firstly, we don't ask you as a supplier to go and buy or procure or supply a particular brand of commodities. We expect you to know this industry that you are in. We just tell you this is what you need. Where you source it is up to you. We don't tell you go to this particular company to source it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't ask you to even pay money to the supplier and ask the supplier to ship it to wherever. So firstly, we don't provide the budget for that particular commodity that we want to buy. Usually mm-hmm. they will tell you we have a budget of this much for this, and this is the brand that we're looking for. And also they'll provide you with a picture of that particular commodity that they are looking for. And you might find that those commodities already are in what we call the transversal contract, which is another method of procurement. So they need to be very, very knowledgeable about the industries or sectors that they're transacting in mm-hmm. so that they can tell whether this is accurate or not. And that is why we're doing this campaign, for suppliers to understand how we do business as government. We don't tell you where to buy what we need, because if we know where to buy it, we'll just go there and buy it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't give you a picture. You should know if we're talking about a thermometer or a handheld thermometer or scanner,
mm-hmm.
what are we talking about? Then you can go and look at the specifications, only that it should be this size, it should be able to scan this now, the battery life should be this long. So those are the specifications that we only will give to suppliers. They will go and source it for themselves wherever they want to, and then provide a quotation. But we never provide the budget as well as the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And also they must look at the email domain as well, just to make sure they are familiar with it as well.
And if you've just joined us, you are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes, and I'm in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsoetho, speaking to us this evening about simplifying the process of doing business with government. And this evening, we are zoning into the Central Supplier Database. Now, as Rakgadi, Mandla from Gapoweni is asking that bank verification is also a problem on CSD. Why does it take so long to verify business banking details?
The banking details take 4 to 5 days. That's what we said initially, because it's something that happens between the CSDs through a safety net. They call it a safety net to make sure that the data is not compromised. The one thing that happens with the verification, suppliers tend to put in different names of companies when they register on the CSD. They open a bank account with the original name of the company. And then when they register on the CSD, they will use what they call trading as. So when it goes to the banking side to verify, the names are totally different. Then it gets rejected. And if they don't go back to check what the problem is, then they'll sit with that problem of unverified bank accounts. So it is important that they capture the information on the CSD side. They capture it exactly as they have captured it on the banking side, right? Two, when they capture it on the CSD side as well, if they are going to leave spaces where the bank didn't leave spaces, the system will go into read that as a character. You know, if you leave a space, the system might think it's a 2 or a 1 or an A. So it's going to reject it. So don't leave spaces where the bank didn't leave spaces. Make sure that everything that you capture is as accurate as what you have submitted to the bank. Then click the submit button. And it will take 4 days. Don't change your banking details once you have an RFQ, because you are bound to have problems. Because you're going to capture the information as quick as you can and get it wrong. And by the time you're supposed to be paid, you're still struggling with the bank verification. So they need to make sure that all the information that is on the banking side captured by the teller on the banking side is the same as what they are going to capture on the CSD side, to make sure that within 4 days they have their bank account verified.
Now, Rakgadi, now that you just spoke of that, what type of mistakes then do you encounter made by suppliers when registering or maybe changing the information on the CSD?
First thing is that it's the company name that don't tend to correspond with what they have registered for. And then you have your bank verification that gets delayed because of that. And the second one is that they don't click the submit button to make sure that they give the system permission to start verifying the information that they have changed or amended. They just change the information and then they just close out and log out. Because if you don't submit that information on the system for verification, the system will just keep it as it is until you come back to click the submit button so that you give it permission to start verifying. Second thing is, please, 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 and we're begging the supplier, stop asking people to register for you. The CSD is a free service for you so that you don't spend money on being on the system. It's a free service. If you have a challenge with the registration, just approach any of the provincial treasuries or any government institution, because we have CSD officials who can help you out. You don't have to pay anything for the service. It's a free service. Once you are done, if you do it correctly, immediately when you log out, you will have your MAAA number to me to confirm that you have submitted all the information that is required. It will still go through verification. So they need to be very, very careful. And the third, the last one is that the tax compliance, it changes every day. It changes every day. And it's not the CSD. The CSD houses the information that SARS keeps on their main information. So what you see reflected on the CSD is what SARS has, and it's what Home Affairs has, it's what your company registration reflects. So if your tax status changes in a day or two, you still have to go to SARS to check what the issue is. You still have your PIN number that you can log online with SARS and check what the challenge is. Because sometimes you find that you are supposed to pay a particular amount, which is maybe 10 rand, and then that system counts as a debt and then kicks you out as non-compliant. So make sure that you keep your status, your compliance as positive as possible. If the system, especially the tax one, because it's the one that tends to change frequently, they need to be mindful of that and make sure that they really correct it with SARS before they get an RFQ or even submit for any tender.
Mm-hmm. Now, Orakhadi, we seem to have a voice note. Can you please just have a listen and then we'll get back to the questions?
All right.
Tying the opinions into a single narrative. Rouse FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Hi, Zimkita. Could you please ask the chief director what it means when businesses are partially registered on the CSD?
The question, Rakhadi, that we have just received is asking what it means when a business says it is partially registered on the system.
Partially registered, meaning that you didn't complete the whole registration,
mm-hmm.
you're going to end up with what we call an RA number as a reference number.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get an RA number, the number will start with the letters RA. It means that your registration is not complete, so you have a temporary CSD number. But if you have captured everything and submitted everything for verification, once you're done,
mm-hmm.
get your MTPA number immediately. But if you're still sitting with your RA number, then it simply means that you're partially registered. So you still have to go back and complete your registration.
Mm-hmm. Now, a WhatsApp message from U Almond in Witbank says, Tina, asitholi ma request for quotes, yindaba.
It would be very helpful if I knew what commodities is registered for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I'll be able to answer the question accurately.
Yes, yes. Now, Rakhadi, you spoke about tax compliance. For those maybe who are not clear, what does tax compliance mean and what do companies that are not tax compliant have to do in order for their CSD to be up to date?
I remember the tax compliance, it's the SARS issue,
mm-hmm.
right? So when they register on the system, they put in their tax number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the system will go and check with SARS whether the person is compliant and not using that reference number.
Mm-hmm.
If on the SARS side it says you are not compliant, that is what is going to be reflected on the CST. Right? So if they realize that their tax status, because they're no longer issuing, like I said, tax clearance certificate that used to last for 12 months because they believe, they're saying that suppliers will pay and then spend the whole year not paying SARS after issuing invoices, and then they go with that tax clearance certificate, doing
mm-hmm.
business with them and still owing SARS. So they've taken that out because we used to struggle as well with the certificates because some of them used to be amended in such a way. You only realize after you have awarded the supplier a contract but this particular tax clearance doesn't even belong to this company or it has expired in this year. They just changed the date.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means is that the tax status is that it tends to change every day.
Mm-hmm.
If at all you were supposed to submit or pay SARS on this particular day, then you don't pay. Tomorrow it will be negative. So you have to go to SARS to sort it out so that it gets reflected positively on the CSD side.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the CSD side, there isn't much we can do. Same as we can't change your ID number on the CSD side because the information that we're interfacing with is sitting with Home Affairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you've just joined us, you are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes. I'm in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakhadi Motseto. She's speaking to us this evening about simplifying the process of doing business with government through public procurement. And this evening, we're looking at the Central Supplier Database. Now, Rakhadi, from the voice notes and the WhatsApp we've been receiving, it seems as though people are getting frustrated with this database. I know I've asked this question before, but I think it's important for me to ask it again. What sort of measures do you think going forward or are being put in place right now to deal with these frustrations of the business owners?
The thing is, the thing is, this is a competitive environment,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to compete, you have to send out and supply something that where we find a few suppliers. You will realize that when you talk different methods of procurement, especially the transversal side, how many commodities are we procuring as government and on behalf of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some you have, before we needed the 3-ply mask, suppliers were doing everything that they were doing elsewhere, then there was a demand from us.
Mm-hmm.
All of them went to start making the three-ply masks and face masks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're sitting with a huge amount of stock because now we are winding down in terms of the demand.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
If the demand is high, you will find usually suppliers tend to flood that particular commodity, and the competition is going to be tight,
mm-hmm.
especially on the RSQ side. But there's still an option on the competition side in terms of the whole tender system that is open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait for an RFQ if you feel as a supplier that you are competent enough to deliver on a particular service that the tender has gone out. You can submit a tender and be evaluated like every supplier,
mm-hmm.
making sure that you meet all the requirements. So if there's 180,000 suppliers under facial mask and we're looking for two boxes, we're going mm-hmm. to use one supply. Until those boxes are complete, we are not going to go back to that line item again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Now, but we buy what we need. We don't buy what is supplied.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We seem to have a WhatsApp voice note. Let's have a listen.
Okay.
Tying the opinions into a single narrative. Rather than in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Hi Zinkita, I'd just like to know what happens when the directors of the business are found to be government employees.
Rakhadi?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this...
I think I heard that if suppliers are found to be government employees.
Yes.
It differs in terms of legislation. On the minister's side, there is room for that.
Mm-hmm.
On the PFMA side, depending on the institution, which law or piece of law do they comply with,
mm-hmm.
right? And also on the PFMA side, before you do business elsewhere or run a side business, you still need to get permission in terms of the DPSAs and public administration. You must get permission to run a side hustle. I will put it that way. But mm-hmm. once when you want to do business with government and you are an employee of the state, what we have done on the CSD, we have loaded all the payrolls for all the institutions that are complying with the PFMA,
mm-hmm.
so that when we check on the system, it will indicate that this is an employee of the state, they are employee in the state. Even the ones who are on long-term contracts, they're getting if they are paid on the payroll of government.
Mm-hmm.
They will be reflected as employees of the state. As a result, we can't do business with government for institutions that are complying with the PFMA. But on the municipal side, there is a different process. And that's what we want to align, especially with the PFMA, to make sure that because you're sitting in government, you know what the opportunities lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then you tend to think, let me just participate, because that is a law you can't say to somebody. You can't do it if the law doesn't prohibit them from doing that. But with the PFMA, you can't. Because
mm-hmm.
already the payrolls are there. The system will verify with your ID that you are an employee of the state, and then you can be disqualified.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Rakhadi, on that note, let's say the director of this business is bidding for a tender that is in the Department of Health, and this director is also employed by the Department of Health. Is this allowed, even though the PFMA has not really been amended, or is it allowed at this current moment, or does that disqualify the person?
It does pick it up, and you can't do business with them,
mm-hmm.
because it's going to indicate that you're an employee of the state. And also, even the Auditor General will pick it up if at all we missed it on our side.
Mm-hmm. Now,
they will pick it up, and it's going to be a human resource kind of disciplinary process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rakhadi, earlier on we touched on the scams that people fall victim to, and the Constitutional mm-hmm. Court had a case, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, about the suspension of preferential procurement. What is the status on that?
Let me put it this way. I'll try my best to explain it the best way I can, but I'm going to put a disclaimer
mm-hmm.
that I'm not a legal person.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
all government institutions have legal teams that can dissect this ruling and guide their respective institutions in terms of how to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
Noting that the public comments for the new regulations closed yesterday already,
mm-hmm.
That is the Preferential Procurement Regulations for 2022. So the ruling was made on the 16th of February 2022.
Mm-hmm.
This relates to a matter that has been ongoing in court since 2018. It is between the Minister of Finance as a custodian of Section 217 of the Constitution that talks to public procurement, in this case, with a group called AfriBusiness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The matter ended up in the Constitutional Court when the Minister of Finance appealed the Supreme Court ruling. Right? So the ruling of the Constitutional Court on the 16th of February, technically, it rendered the 2017 Preferential Procurement Regulations invalid but not unconstitutional, stating that the minister shouldn't have issued the regulation to that extent where they put in elements of subcontracting and all those kinds of things. Because if you look at the Act, when you issue regulations, you have to align them to the Act because the Act it states that this is what the minister needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why the regulations, the new ones, are focusing on the threshold amounts to apply what is prescribed in the preferential procurement and give effect to the 90, 20, and 20 point system. Those who are in the tendering space will understand that. So whatever that is not included in the revised regulations that closed yesterday,
mm-hmm.
they have to be dealt with by the organs of state in terms of the Preferential Act, Section 2.1, where it says organs of state must have their own policies for preference. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the subcontracting, because with the new regulation, subcontracting as a condition of tender is excluded together with pre-qualification and other elements. Because those are the two main regulations, 4 and 9, that were a source of contest in court. So institutions of government have to work on their preference policies using the regulations where we are giving them the amounts that they need to apply when they're using the point system for 80-20 and 90-10. Mm-hmm. I know certain suppliers will say, but the 80-20 and 90-10, they don't help us a lot. You cannot change the regulations if the Act is still prescribing 80-20 and 90-10. You have to align it to the Act, right? So after the ruling, what the National Treasury did, they sought to clarify the implications of the ruling on procurement and issued what we call advisories on two occasions. So with those advisories, we're just saying to institutions of government, these are the implications of this ruling. We were not saying stop all procurement processes, as you will read in most of the newspapers that
mm-hmm.
Treasury put the brakes on procurement, which is not the case. We are just saying this is where we are in terms of this particular ruling, because much as all the organs of state have legal people on their payroll, I don't know why they couldn't use them to interpret the Constitutional Court ruling, but we had to do it because of the huge amount of emails that we are getting, as well as calls that where do we stand because of this particular ruling.
Mm-hmm.
So we advise the organs of state that as per the Act, you can apply for exemption from the Act itself in order for you to implement procurement that can impact service delivery or it's in the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did by issuing those two communications, which are still available on our website. Now, organs of state still need to develop their own preferential policies using the thresholds that have been gazetted. Once they are promulgated, they can add them on and then use their preference as prescribed in the Preferential Act because it's not repealed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we get to the procurement bill and it gets repealed, then we will talk another story. But now, what it says is that we no longer have subcontracting, we no longer have pre-qualification unless organs of state want to include them. That is their own policies, it's not the Treasury's policies.
Mm-hmm. Rakhadi, let's take this short break. We will be back. You can still send your WhatsApps to 072-885-7702. You are listening to Rise FM in 60 Minutes.
In touch with Mpumalanga. In touch with the world. This is Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Studying, there's no limit to how far you can go in your career. You want to know why? Because when you learn like a boss, you earn like a boss. A study loan from Fundi makes it possible to take the big steps towards your career. Talk to Fundi for a study loan today and enable your success. Pay for tuition fees, outstanding balances, laptops, devices, and even accommodation. What are you waiting for? Simply SMS OB Limpopo to 32150 and Fundi will call you back. T's and C's and SMS rates apply.
This is Raz FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
It is 28 minutes after 7, and if you've just joined us, good evening. And this evening, I'm in conversation with the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsepe, speaking to us about this, about simplifying the process of doing business with government through public procurement. And this evening, we are looking at central database systems. Now, Rakgadi, how important is it for suppliers to remember that they need to pay for registering on the database, that they don't need to pay for registering on the database?
If you pay somebody, obviously you have to give them your personal details, and they are going to create a password that they will remember, and they can still go back onto the system and change your profile without you knowing it. So you are compromising your information by getting the third party that is authorized to work through that information with you. That is why we're saying stop paying people who are calling themselves experts in registering you on the CSD. It's a simple thing that you can do. You just have to follow through in terms of look at the frequently asked questions in terms of what are the documents or information that I need for me to complete the whole registration so that when I'm done, I can get my MAAA number. And what is very, very key is that after every information that you have captured, when you get to the bottom of the page, just make sure you click the submit button because the system will not move into verifying that information if you don't give it that permission by clicking that submit button. So it is important that they go, if they are struggling with the CSD, they can go to any institution of government to ask for help. We have officials who have been trained on the CSD to help suppliers to do that. Most of them have done them over the phone. They can use, if they have Android, they can do it. If they have all the documents that are required, they can do it. And then before maybe less than 15 minutes, they are done. And then they get their MAAA number. Depending on the commodities that they have registered, they can either wait for the RFQ or they can look for tenders that are above 1 million because right now we have revised our threshold. So when they see RFQs that are coming, and they are up to 1 million, they should be as alarmed because the thresholds are different now, especially on the PFMA compliant institutions, whereas on the MFA and the municipality side is still 200,000. So they shouldn't be as alarmed, but they still need to approach this with caution to make sure that they verify if they are in doubt. Because what we have done, we have attempted to activate the issuance of RFQs online. But the thing is, it goes to all government institutions. If you are registered for 50 commodities and you have 2,500 institutions that are looking for this commodity, let's say in Mpumalanga, you have all institutions that are looking for paper and you registered for paper, you're going to get those RFQs from all of them. Suppliers tend to complain that we're getting a lot of RFQs via online, so we had to stop it because we were still piloting it, but we have to see how best we can use it going forward. And hopefully next week when we talk to different methods of procurement, they will understand how this whole system can come full circle for them to understand it, really take the opportunities as they come.
Thank you so much, Rakgadi, for the informative information that you've shared with us this evening.
Thank you so much, Ma. I'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much. That was the National Treasury's Rakgadi Motsepe speaking to us this evening about simplifying the process of doing business with government. And this evening, we were looking at the Central Supplier Database and e-tendering. Well, that's where we leave it on Rise FM in 60 Minutes with Zimkita Shongwe in for Umusa Skhosana. We will be back tomorrow, same time, between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m.